Well, praise the Lord. Well, God's in the midst of us today. Thank you, team. They're so good, aren't they, our worship team? They bring us to a place. I think they're ready to put down a DVD myself, but you know, I'm just a little bit biased, I think. praise the Lord. Well, we are continuing this morning with a series that we've been in, and I'd like to continue and with the time that we've got left with a few thoughts. And we've been spending time over the last few weeks looking at God's love. And I think today's ministry time this morning has been very much around that topic of God's love for us and for his people. We've seen how in Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, that if we'll be rooted and grounded in love, understanding, I think there's a ring on this, Johnson, it's got a little bell. But if we'll be rooted and grounded in love, understanding the varying dimensions of God's love, the width, the depth, the length and the height. And the Bible says we'll be filled with the fullness of God. Now, that's a topic that a lot of people, what's that being filled with the fullness of God thing? Well, I believe it's that uninterrupted connection with God, you know, where he's flowing in us and we're walking in our full capacity because he's flowing through us, you know. It's not just us, it's him flowing through us as well, you know. God's gifts are not just to us, they're through us, we say. And of course, it's all based on God's love and a truth that we should capture and get a hold of today. And remember, some truth is not taught, it's caught. Okay, you catch it more so than you actually sort of think it through. It's something that it drops into our hearts. But the truth that I believe that we should catch is that the fullness of God in us to full capacity, once we experience it, it's better than any short-lived satisfaction that might come from getting even with someone who has hurt us. It's better than revenge. It's better than proving you were right and they were wrong. It's better than bitterness carried out over a long time and born towards someone or a circumstance that occurred in your life. We should know that God flowing in us and through us is far better for us than carrying hatred or bearing a grudge. We should know that and seek after that fullness of God. You know, 1 Corinthians 14:1, and remember 1 Corinthians 14:1 comes straight after 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter. Usually these days, if you haven't heard it lately, you have to go to a wedding to hear it, because it's usually the scripture that they bring out. It's 1 Corinthians 13, and that, you know, we talk about what love is. But 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, hot on the tail of 1 Corinthians 13, says this: pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. I like that. You know, one translation, the Aramaic Bible in plain English version says this: run after love and be zealous for the gifts of the Spirit, but especially that you may prophesy. I tell you, there's something about the gifts of God when they're flowing in your life and through your life, that when someone receives it, what they feel is the message, certainly, but also the love that's coming from the heart of God. You know, it's an experience in the love of God to receive from the gifts of the Spirit. And we need to appreciate that. Here is such a connection to God's heart, you know, when we live our lives from that place of his love. Amen? So much so that the gifts of the Holy Spirit begin to flow through us quite readily and quite easily. And we're just able to just tap into that. Last week, we focused on knowing and believing the love that God has for us. And it's an opportunity to grow deeper in our appreciation of God's love for us. And great to know that nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. We've really sort of been around that theme a little bit this morning, I believe, as we've waited on the Lord and he's ministered to us. But you should know that we pray constantly. We pray constantly in this church every week that God would draw people into this church, that you know, people that need to hear the gospel of salvation, the message that God's love for mankind was extended and demonstrated to us at the cross while we were still sinners. Proverbs 5:8 talks about that. God demonstrates his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It reached us where we were, didn't it? What a great thing to think on. There are those ones that need to know that God loves them right where they are. that you don't have to get better to be able to get to church or to deserve to go to church. You don't have to get better. He'll do the work of transformation in your life. He'll do that work of renovation in our lives as we come. But it's just making the start. It's a journey. But how do you know how you get to the end of your journey is to start where you are. And God starts where we are as well. We talk about each and every single one of us, how God reached us where we were. You know, the Bible talks about being lost in our sin, you know, without God in the world, you know, alienated from Him. You know, God loves us in our dysfunction. He loves us in our need. He loves us right where we are. And he demonstrated His love to us by sending Jesus Christ. And let's all make sure that we always give reverence to that objective in this church, you know, that our, you know, our highest pursuit, the goal that we're after is to reach people with the love of God, reach people with that touch of His love that transforms, brings about new life, resurrection life. Paul was touching in on during the communion message this morning. So important that we get about that. And I tell you, because that is our objective, no one should ever come into this church and feel unworthy or judged or made to feel less because of anything. Because God wants to love us all right where we are. No one should come in having to feel like they need to make changes before they come to church. Just come to church as you are. God will start to work and minister in your life. Amen? Amen. So, you know, we've been looking at a couple of things. If you remember correctly, one of the takeaways last week for all of us was that we should be getting a hold of is that we're not going to be good at loving others if we've not first understood God's love for us. It's that same love truth that need to get a hold of there. And of course, accordingly, if we're not good at forgiving others, I should say we'll not be good at forgiving others if we've even understood that God has forgiven us. God is not holding stuff against us. Hasn't got a big list. Hasn't got a book, you know, against us. Okay? John 15, verse 9 and verse 12, it says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love." It is that same love truth that we need to get a hold of. And in 1 John 4, we saw that as He is, so we are in the world. What does that mean? As He is, so are we in the world. What does that mean? I don't know. I spent a little time thinking about that. It's that as God loved Jesus, so He loves us. As He was in the world, so are we. He never stopped. He never stepped away from the love of God His whole time here. And as He was, so are we in the world. And we never step away from the love of God. Amen. So good to be encouraged by that. Why don't we read in verse 10, it says there, "If you keep my commandments," this is Jesus talking, "if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in His love. I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Ever thought about the joy that Jesus walked in? He walked in a joy. He lived in a joy that came from the Father. And of course, we can walk in that same joy as well. The joy was it's this, "I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." What a great word. Having known and believed the love that God has for us gives us a joy. There's a joy that comes with that and equips us also, I believe, to love others, to let other people off the hook when they've done us wrong. How do you feel when you know people have spoken about you badly? Rosemary's got a sad face. What do you do when you know people have spoken badly behind your back? Forgive them. That's great, you know. But, you know, sometimes it's the act of doing it before the feeling comes, isn't it? You know, sometimes you actually have to do it. "Father, you go to God and tell God that you're forgiving them. Lord, I forgive them." But the feeling's not there yet. But I tell you what, if you just continue to say, "Lord, I just forgive and I let go. Lord, I forgive and I let go. I'm not going to hold a grudge against that person." The more we continue to make that affirmation and go to God in prayer and say, "Lord, I forgive them," you watch, the feeling will come as well where they are forgiven, that you don't hold it against them anymore. You watch, it'll come. We need to go to the Lord with our cares because He cares for us. Amen. Verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. Whoa, that need to ring in our ear, doesn't it? If we don't love, we don't know God, because he is love. Look what it says. For God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. That's that word, propitiation, which means atonement. Okay, the actual ransom price for our sins. Sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. In other words, if we're going to receive the love of God, we have to share it. It has to go out. God's love shouldn't stop with us. It's designed by God to be shared with others. So, just going to take a few minutes to continue on this line, but it says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. You know, I dare to believe that this verse means that this is how people get to see God, as they see God in us, as they experience that love coming out of our lives toward them, as we love one another. It goes on in verse 13, it says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. What a great passage of Scripture that we can refresh ourselves from time to time as we have need, is to go to these verses, remind ourselves about the love of God. And it's designed that it's not just to us, but it's through us. God wants it to get out and get out into the lives of others. Verse 17, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. As he is, you're loved by God, so are we in the world. We're loved by God. And there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And we love him because he first loved us. You know, the truth that we need to get a hold of today, and I believe it's an important one. When we believe that God the Father loves us in the same manner that he loves Jesus, we're set free from fear. Any torment that may be associated with what the future may hold. In other words, we can look forward to the future knowing that God's in it, that his love will prevail no matter what. And that, you know, we'll never be separated from that love, no matter what the future holds. But we need to walk, and whoever that word was for, lockstep with him. We need to keep walking with him, and we'll get to the end of our journey. You know, even the judgment that is to come, you know, God's love is not going to in any way hinder us from that which is before us, the judgment seat of Christ. You know, where we can expect to have that commendation from the Lord, well done, you know, you good and faithful servant. Each one of us can expect that as we walk in his ways and walk with him and talk with him. You know, being filled with the fullness of God, being in that place of God's love flowing to us, through us, is not possible when we don't forgive. You know, when we hold a grudge, let's just take time to, you know, examine our hearts this morning and maybe consider where we may have held a long-term grudge, a long-season grudge. You know, I've forgiven everyone, but I'm not going to forgive that one. That someone said that you can nurse a grudge, but it won't get better. If we will just release them in forgiveness, the grieving will stop. You know, if we'll just release them in forgiveness, that grieving does come to an end. The hurt will stop. And of course, the key to freedom is that we let go of the hurt, and then we let go of the unforgiveness. You know, we let go of the hurt, let go of that. And the thing about the hurt and the unforgiveness is that in it sometimes is a sense that I need justice. I need to, you know, be proven to be in the right and that they were in the wrong. Sometimes you don't get that. You used to always get a little bit amazed at Pastor Margaret, you know, because she'd just walk away from, you know, a disagreement or something and just decide that she was going to walk in love, that she wasn't necessarily concerned about being right, you know. And I'd say, but you are right, Pastor Margaret, you know, you were right in this situation, you know. And I'd be sort of offering my two bobs worth, you know, in the situation. And she goes, yeah, but I just forgive them. And I'd say, but they don't even know that you've forgiven them, you know what I mean? But see, she was guarding her heart, you see, from offence and unforgiveness, and just was real, and still is, just really good at just letting go, not holding offences against anyone. Because, of course, well, you know, what that does is it frees her up. You know, frees her up. And, you know, the ministry that she does and the places that she goes and, the connections that she has, she needs to be free, because when she goes into those places, she needs to just be coming out of the freedom of the Spirit. Just walk into rooms and situations and just have a word for people. And you know, that comes, what from? Pursuing love. And I like that. We go back to 1 Corinthians 14, you know, is just to sort of finish on that point. But, you know, when we pursue love, and that the idea of pursuing love is it's something that you always need to chase after. Because, you know, you'll have 1 minute where you have to walk in love and forgive. Maybe your spouse has done the wrong thing by you, and you, you know, or feel a little offended by an action or something that they've done, and you have to let, you know, forgive them. And so you've sort of caught and you've forgiven and you've pursued it and you've found it and it's yours again. And next thing you know, it's the neighbour playing them out, their music too loud, and you've got to pursue love again. You know what I mean? See, love is something that we continue to pursue. But I really believe that when we're coming out of that spirit of love, what comes so very quickly, and when we make it a pattern of life, this is that the gifts of the Spirit start to flow really freely and very, what's the word for it, readily into your life and through your life. You know, we begin to see and know, begin to get the Father's heart, because if we're going to get the Father's heart as sons and daughters, we need to realise that we're getting a heart that's of love. That's the Father's heart. The Father's heart is not a heart of judgment, harshness, angry. The Father's heart is a heart of love. And when we get a hold of that, when we pursue after that and come out of that same love in our relationships with others, you watch. Next thing you know, you'll be seeing God, I should say, you'll be seeing others the way that God sees them. And, you know, you watch, it's just such a shift and a change in, you know, being hard and angry and, you know, harsh with people, to just shifting over to that place of seeing people from where God sees them. And especially being able to let them off when you see maybe something they've done wrong, or a behaviour, or something that's not right, or something like that, or an offence toward you. You just be able to let it go real easily, because God does. It's all washed by what Jesus did for us on the cross. The penalty's been paid for. Amen. I want to finish on that note this morning, and say amen. God bless you all.